him also here and welcome. I just need to indicate that there is definitely not an administration that's needed to proceed. But if members don't really, if we don't have sufficient number, I think we'll end up with the process. Also, if I hope to adopt our report for the participant of Trump, and it's a rally process that I can bring that report. For members, it's honorable Sheila Stoll, who has joined us as well. And we appreciate and thank you for attending. complementing what you're actually thinking that we should work on the relationship and things that the Public Service Commission has that for understanding. It is within also our mandate to do oversight to actually try to align where we believe it's not well aligned. And also as an independent entity, it is also within their existence that they are able to review and look into matters but also as respected they've according to the community to ensure that they can keep the rules of support. I'm not going to get into quite a detail in terms of work like this, that this was cultural confirmed employment, this is what they've brought, but I would actually allow them to take us through this discussion and which is very important for the community. We have sent our approach for this remaining term, remaining year, and we still have another strategy for bringing it, which I doubt, that we are going to be approaching it in this thing, an overwhelming oversight, an overarching oversight, and therefore that's how we approach everything here from now on our strategic plan meeting, the plans of what we want to do, our oversight will be overarching oversight, and therefore we think by so doing, we're providing the scope to accommodate our oversight in terms of what is expected from the Public Service Administration for full colleagues. And all the entities we work with, they together with the independent bodies to follow suit. I'm going to allow the chairperson to take us through the introduction of the Public Service Commission. People who are already present here, I know that the two commissioners, and I was made aware that this is acting DG, Dr. Matiswan, and also the Governance and Monitoring Chief Director, that is Mr. Charles Baramere, and also maybe we have the Parliamentary Professor. Yes, not a few of Waza, so those are here, but I will still allow the chairperson to take us from.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, on the floor of comments.
It's an apology, maybe before that, just to indicate that we did get an apology from the Minister, and we did get an apology from the Deputy Minister, Dr. Busi, who was here that she will be giving an hour. There's another commitment. Thank you.
Chair, just on the point of clarity, sorry, did I hear there's an acting DG? An acting DG means that, you know, you haven't got a DG anymore. Maybe, I'm sorry for calling you, but it was just something in the back of my mind that, hey, what happened here?
Yeah, yeah, and thanks for that. Actually, I think I must have told that I should have clarified the point. The DG has gone overseas on an important trip, serious engagement there, to the World Bank on the issue of defining the very important engagement. So here's the house, is only to come back to this house. So it is based then on us, as us local, and on this one, to be acting this for us. That's for us. These two critical issues with the commission is to prepare the portfolio committee. It's a follow-up on the recommendations which were made by the portfolio committee arising from the 2010 stage of public affairs, which was presented to Parliament. And then in the report of the portfolio committee, a set of recommendations were made for all things. But then for this purpose, there are two recommendations made by the portfolio committee, and subsequently these recommendations were adopted by the national majority. Now these two critical recommendations around the governance of all entities, as well as annual evaluation, the view of commission was that we are going to gradually implement some of these companies given the capacity constraints. We indicated that now with the question of extending our mandate to local government, we've already started and the process of our mandate is our funding legislation so that now we are actually trying to bring it in line with the constitution as well as the current legislation. That was then actually in place. Hopefully, we could be successful before the end of this term. And then with regard to other issues, like report on section 195, governance of all entities in our report, the commission has sent a proposal to the portfolio for the government part to respond to this approach for this. Now, in that response, we have indicated very extensively some of the implementation challenges to ensure that now the most entities or the participant reports or the paper reports appear in those entities. There are some implementation challenges, and we hope that that response is never complete. It's quite comprehensive, but if there are some doubt around the issue, we can bring some copies. More money. Now, what we actually is to respond on the second issue, which is the annual evaluation of the department and in the cases of indicators in order to update. I must also indicate that this was a very, very important recommendation by the Board of the Committee. We have already started to implement the action. The second thing that the Committee will recall. In 2011, starting from them, we did the presentation of the need for the public and started now to do our way with the same approach as well as coming up with the critical indicators. And I think that's what was able to address the concerns raised by the portfolio committee. And if I recall very well, the portfolio was extremely impressed with us with that approach. So I started in this. Now, what we intend to do is the implementation of the second recommendation that now the annual evaluation based on fixed indicators with the view that now will be able or the portfolio committee in a position to have the data or a set of information which will enable them to check trends and be able to determine the extent to which are actually adhering to the nine principles as well as our system 195. Now, we are indicating that now example, one student from one, I've already pointed out the people who have the needs, we've already started with them. Secondly, we have what we call institutional assessment of their departments, which are doing it, which is based on a fixed criteria. And then thirdly, we also have what we call a consolidated energy report, which also are based on a predetermined principle. So that is actually being implemented. But that is most important, which was implemented, because the new product we have come up with, and I say it was in the time of incubation period, what we call the public state around. It's a new instrument set out to understand what the community has to bring us to do. So what we're going to be presenting today is actually a barometer, which actually is in pilotage, which is under construction, and will develop a set of indicators, and the process gets completed, and we appreciate the feedback of the portfolio company, how they react to it, what is the process of refining.
One look at the purpose of those policies and prescripts. Many times the purpose should be met. So that's, I would say that if one complies in a mechanical manner, you tick off the boxes, without really considering the purpose of these policies, which in most cases are stated right up front in the policy, then the public service is still not fully meeting the values as reflected in the constitution. Perhaps some of the decisions that was made at the fairly early in the new democracy to decentralize public administration or to set down broad frameworks within which the parties can set their own policies. Perhaps some of those decisions need to be reconsidered. And some of the public administration practices and age of practices must perhaps again be re-centralized. But now going to the first product in our presentation, the State of the Public Service Barometer. We feel that this is responding directly to Parliament's recommendations, because it will reflect the State of the Public Service against each of the constitutional principles. What the Portfolio Committee wanted was that we measure the performance of the public service against a fixed set of indicators, and that those indicators stay the same for a number of years, so that one can compare with previous years and then see a trend in performance. Our barometer will cover all national and provincial departments, and eventually also local governments. At the moment, you'll see also from the slides that we give a view of the public service as a whole, but the barometer will also be able to give you the picture for a specific department. So potentially, over the longer term, we may have about 150 barometers if we have a barometer per department. Now the timeliness of this, of the information in the barometer, we say in the group there, the barometer will be updated periodically, which means we will update as the information becomes available. Some information is available quarterly, so we can update that part of the barometer on a quarterly basis. But we also make use, for instance, of audit opinions. Those come out once a year. So in that regard, the barometer will be updated annually. So we will try to make it as in time as possible by updating as the information becomes available. And then the last bullet thing, we picked indicators, keeping in mind how readily information is available. So we can apply this barometer without going into departments and doing research in those departments. The indicators are based on information that is available in some transversal systems and in published reports, fairly readily available. Chairperson of the Commission has also emphasized is that we are still in a phase of piloting this barometer. So in the next slides, we will give you a few examples of some of the indicators that we will use. In quite a few instances, we will have to still arrive at a set of indicators that fully reflect the value. An indicator is always just a narrow view of the broader value, and it doesn't really tell you accurately or validly something about the value itself. It's not a good indicator. So we are still looking for better indicators, but our last bullet added as a proviso that the information should also be available, which in a sense also then restricts us, but in the way we select indicators. So going then to a high standard of professional ethics, the indicator text on the slide there is compliance with the financial disclosure framework, and the graph says 48% of partners comply 100% by the due date. And as you know, all members of the senior management service are required to, by not later than 30 April, submit their disclosures on financial interest. And from client right there is what a good indicator. Going still with the high standard of professional ethics, we will also use the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. This is where the PSC itself holds the data. We are not here relying on other bodies. Quite a number of cases are reported to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, and through that hotline we can then track actual number of corruption cases. And if you see here, the performance is much worse, because very few cases have been closed. By August 2012, 83% of the departments only closed less than half their cases. Improved a little bit to 77%. But it is still a very indicator reflecting poorly on the public system. And the basic reason for that is the capacity in the departments to investigate their cases and purge them by the PSC. So, on a high standard of professional ethics, we also, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, we also monitor financial misconduct in public service. The number of cases haven't gone up that drastically, from about 1,000 in 2006-07 to about 1,200 in 2011-12, but you'll notice that the cost of that financial misconduct has gone up quite significantly from the 100 million up to a billion there in 2010. We think that given the high rates of unauthorized, irregular, and fruited and wasteful expenditure reported by the Auditor General, the number of financial misconduct cases reported to us seems to be low. And again, is also related to the capacity of departments to investigate these cases. We also, like in the past, the Public Service Commission has also presented specific reports on reporting these suspensions. And again, all of these indicators are well related to each other. Departments don't have capacity to investigate cases and don't have the capacity to conclude incident cases, then these average number of days that staff suspected of or charged with misconduct, plus on suspension, becomes long. And the rate again is quite large in this graph. Quite a big percentage of departments sustain people for longer than 90 days. Then going to efficient economic and effective use of resources. This is plus quite a useful indicator. We get from the annual reports how many of departments' planned outputs they have achieved. And you will see in 2011, 64%, which went up to 72%. In the middle of that, so between 59% of the predetermined objectives achieved. So, roughly speaking, departments, when they report on how they achieve their objectives, achieve only between 15% and 80% of their objectives. Now, that can be because of poor performance, and we think to a large degree it is because of poor performance, but it is also because of poorly formulated indicators and graphs. And that's a good example. The Department of Home Affairs would, for instance, say that they would deliver 8% of ID books would be delivered within 6 weeks. Now, their actual performance was 70% of those ID books were delivered within a 6-week period, which then mean they didn't achieve the target. But still, 70% of their customers would have been satisfied because they got their ID in actually quite quick time. So, one should be careful to simply say this is because of But it does illustrate, and that's why we say it's a good indicator, it does illustrate the link between expenditure and reaching or meeting, achieving goals. The next slide then relates back to expenditure performance. And the parties more or less have their expenditure under control. 33% of the parties' expenditure was between 0 and 2%. 39% above 2%. It's not big percentages, but not 2%. party participation indicator that we've used there, and it's more an indication of responsiveness, I suppose, than party participation, is how the parties are responding to complaints logged through the presidential outline. And the presidential outline differs from the PSC's corruption outline that third-level cases are reported to the president. And here the indicator indicates actually quite good performance, because 80% and above cases were resolved in 2012 by 65% of departments, and 74% of departments in February 2013. So departments respond actually quite well to complaints, further delivery complaints referred to them from the presidential outline. Public administration must be accountable. We emphasize here that all senior managers, all members of staff must be at least annually be, their performance must be evaluated, and the tone must be set from the top. So it's very important that the heads of departments are evaluated. And as you will see from the graph, that indicator has declined drastically over the years. Only 80% in 2011-12 of heads of departments were evaluated. Then going into the final performance agreements, 55% of performance agreements were submitted by the dealer, so their performance is much better. But when it gets to the actual evaluation heads of departments, and then the audit outcomes, although in a sense is interesting things, because the unqualified audit opinions increased. 62% of departments in 11-12 had unqualified audit opinions compared to 55% in 2019. So the departments are being not drastically, but quite a bit better with regard to unqualified audit opinions. But very few departments the absolutely clean audits. And you see on the last graph there that clean audits have declined from 15% in 2019 to only 8% in 2011-12. A clean audit means that the Auditor General doesn't point out anything that the department doesn't tend to. So it is quite a high barrier to get over. So for me, it's quite encouraging that the unqualified audit opinion went up. Then transparency, the indicator that you use there is how accessible the manual access to information is on the department's website. So the indicator that we use here is compliance with the Promotion of Access to Information Act. In 55% of the cases, we couldn't even find the manual access information on the department's website, which is actually quite a bad indicator. One can improve this indicator by listing many more things, many more pieces of information, apart from the manual access information that should be readily available, should be readily available on the department's website. But for now, we are checking the specific piece of information. Good HR practices. First indicator that we use there is the vacancy rate. And you'll see with quite a large proportion of departments, 36% a vacancy rate of about 30%. 32% between 10 and 30. Now again, to improve this indicator, there's big differences in vacancy rates for specific occupations. Here we concentrated on the senior management service professionals generally, but we would be able to in future give the portfolio committee a breakdown for different occupations. Recently we collected information about how the capacity of the public service in relation to the infrastructure program. So all the built environment or infrastructure professionals, how well staffed and how it helps you in the public service with regard to those specific professions. The average length of time to fill a post, that speaks to sort of the efficiency of HR processes. And you see that 72% of departments take more than 9 months. Not good performance at all. And then another indicator, back dated terminations. And the logic of this indicator is if a person resigns or retires, his termination of service is affected immediately. It's a very simple administrative process. But as soon as you do it late, a month or 2 months late, then it becomes a big administrative process because you must now recover the money that you have paid to the person. When you just would have stopped the payment, and now you sit with all sorts of administrative processes to try to recover the overpayment that you've done because you haven't affected. It's also an indicator then that speaks to the efficiency of routine HR processes. And luckily, 84% of terminations of departments only had under 8% of that age of terminations. It is also an indicator to close to watch number goes up in the danger signal that that department is struggling to complete routine admin processes. And then employment equity, the public service has done well with the race equity indicator, but is still struggling with regard to women equity. The target a few years ago was 30%, is now 50% of the public service is still between the two targets. It hasn't achieved the 50% target yet. But especially worrying to us is that it seems that the public service is wonderful to achieve the possibility target of 2%. Now, that is up to here that we have given a number of examples of the indicators that we will use in the public service barometer. We are constantly trying to use more telling indicators. By saying more telling more about the value as a whole and not only a small aspect of the value. Going to the state of the public service report, the PSC will still produce its state of public service report. We are beginning to say that the barometer is part one of our state of the public service report. So the information base of the state of the public service report is the barometer. Part two of the state of the public service report will then reflect on that data and analyze key issues. It will try to diagnose causes of poor performance, or the reasons why the public service is trying to become excellent. And our institutional and diagnostic assistance will also inform the state of the public service report. And just to give you an idea of the type of issues that we want to address in the state of the public service report, and the one that we are working on now, the issue that we will raise is the effectiveness of the integrity system, causes of poor performance, what can be done to improve results delivered by public service departments, what constitutes appropriate management action in the case of poor performance, what are the consequences of poor performance, what can be done to make administrative processes much more empowering and participatory, the appropriateness of the current public administration regulatory framework, and the effectiveness of the performance management and development system. So, based on the broader trend that the barometer will lift out, we will reflect on some of the issues and go more to the causes of problems, and also perhaps suggest solutions in the state of the public service report. Then lastly, in our presentation, we also want to tell the portfolio committee about the developments around our institutional assessments. On this first slide, we give a bit of history. Like the chairperson has said, then we have a tool which we use, also an indicator-based tool, which we use to assess the performance of the department. Consists of a number of indicators or each of the values. Linked to each of the indicators is a standard of performance, and then linked to each of the standards is a score, so we can score departments. The tool has been applied since 2001, and we have already 169 reports in our database. Some of those, 42 of those, are already second assessment, and if we've done a second assessment, we can compare the performance of that department with its own performance in the previous year. So these reports allow comparisons between samples of departments for following years. We can compare the same department with itself when we do a reassessment. And many times when we do sectors of departments, we are concluding the reports on the social development sector. So we will have 10 reports on social development departments where we will then compare like with like. Up to now we have produced 11 consolidated reports covering different years. So from those reports we can show the trends over the 11 periods covered by those consolidated reports. But we have realized, and we point out on that slide, the challenges that we face with our energy tool. The tool currently consumes an enormous amount of energy and institutional capacity, but its impact is limited considering the investment required to implement it. Because we start asking ourselves, okay, we have assessed these departments, we've produced a report, we've discussed the report with them, we've presented the report to that department's portfolio committee, but then we are still asking ourselves, okay, what happened as a result of that report? So we said it has stalled at the level of an assessment of performance of compliance and reducing reports. It has not yet shifted to the level of diagnosing underlying problems and assisting with their resolution. And that was our own definition of the challenges or problems with our own system. And our response to that is that instead of stopping with the production of a report based on the assessment, the process will continue in the follow-up improvement phase during which the PSC will support departments in developing solutions to their problems. So we will then probably do these institutional assessments every second year, and in the following year we will stay with those departments and have a support initiative in those departments to help them develop solutions for problems that we have pointed out. If we say we will develop solutions, we also will look at the appropriateness of the regulatory framework. We wouldn't simply tell the department the solution is to comply with policy. So ask why do the department struggle to comply with that policy? And part of the solution would be to develop a better policy. And that is the end of the presentation. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay.